All right. I hope you're ready for this. Are you ready for this? It's the news. According to me. Yeah, it's a little different vibe here this morning. This is one option. There's another one. I kind of like the funky blues kind of thing. This is kind of more of a swing type thing. I kind of like it. Here we go. Yeah. Anyway, I made this up. This is it's AI generated, believe it or not. But I had to. I played a little thing in. I made a little recording, and then I told it what to do. Take that and make it this. And it's yeah. I think that might be a winner. I don't know. There's another one I really like as well. There's two of them. I'm not going to play the other one. But I definitely think it's going to give the show a little different vibe. That's for sure. But yeah, so we'll have to see how that how it all works out. We'll just have to see how it all works out. I find it interesting how it's anyway. Yeah, it's fun. It's one of the things about AI. By the way, welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, February 25th, 2023. It's 8:03 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I totally forgot. Yesterday morning, I just wasn't even thinking about the fact that I was for some reason yesterday felt like Monday to me. I guess because I was home. This first day I was home, and it just felt like Monday. And I totally forgot that the POTUS, presidential State of the Union address was last night. I was going to listen to it. I didn't listen to it live. Probably could have. I just was tired. I wanted to go sleep, and I don't have to make myself do things like that. I'm not going to listen to the whole thing. So much of it is pomp and circumstance, and it's just, a bunch of fluff. And it's just that, love Trump or not, I didn't want to spend that long listening to him just go on about, how great he is. It's one thing for a president to be great. It's a whole other thing when he kind of self-aggrandizes. And I could have listened. What I really wanted to get was the Democrats' responses because they're little children. They're little 12-year-olds. They can't act. They have to act like they have to throw a little tantrum, a little fit every time he says something that they don't agree with. There was one guy during the Obama administration who Obama told a flat out lie to the Congress in the State of the Union address. One man said, "You lie." He was mad about it. I probably would have had the same reaction. And unfortunately, it was a very quiet moment. Because the guy had read the bill. And Obama was saying illegal immigrants weren't going to get any benefits. And that's not what the bill said. And he said, "You lie." Because he did lie. And later on, everybody's, Nancy Pelosi looked, my goodness, who was that? How disgusting that was. It wasn't disgusting when she tore up the State of the Union. It's the common practice that the president hands the Speaker of the House a historical document, by the way, that's not owned by Nancy Pelosi. It's not owned by the Speaker of the House. It's not the Speaker of the House's job to decide whether it was a good speech or not. She tore it up. She tore up the speech. It's not her document. It's the people's document. Because she doesn't give a crap about the people and what is ours. I would have been mad if anybody If Barack Obama would have turned around to John Boehner, whoever was that, I don't remember who the speaker was while he was. If he would have torn it up, I would have been disgusted by that. That is just, it's just disgusting, childish behavior. Has no place in our Congress. Well, apparently it does now. Now the Democrats are all, you've got wacky lunatics in Congress right now. It's just, and the left has just gone off the rails. I don't know who the adults are now. I think that the adults are scared of the kids. Have you seen those families where parents are they're afraid to discipline their children? They're afraid to say anything to their children because they might rebel? What's that about? Of course they're going to rebel because you let them rebel. You taught them to rebel. This is what happens when you don't treat them right when they're two. That's why they call it the terrible twos. Troublesome threes. I don't know. It's ridiculous the way these people are acting. Chuck Schumer can't do anything about it. Mitch McConnell isn't. He hates Trump. And it's not, I don't think it's McConnell. McConnell is. There's less of McConnell in his suit than there was of Joe Biden. To be honest, McConnell's not. I don't think he's present. He's there, but he's not all there. My mom used to say, "I'm here because I'm not all there." Well, that was unfortunately when she went into the memory care facility. That was a very fitting line at that time. And I'm not trying to be shallow here. I'm just saying it was, my mom enjoyed life. She had fun with life and she would joke about it. She was self-deprecating. Some would say it's disrespectful. I don't know. It's not disrespectful. If you know my mom, it's not disrespectful. She would have enjoyed that kind of humor. But unfortunately, my sense of humor is about the same. But it's one of those things where, by the way, anyway, these people are children. I can't show, unfortunately, on an audio recording what some of the reactions were, but there was a lot of chanting and screaming and stuff going on in the background as Trump was saying, and right before he said, "You should be ashamed of yourself." And I'm going to try to find this. This clip, I've got this little thing that shows, it has a, oh, there's my show prep live thing. Show prep live. There's that one. There's another one I've, supposed to have access to this other one that was built by, where's the other one? Show prep live is one of the, I've got two different show prep, programs I'm working on that are supposed to give me. I just type in what my subjects are and what things I want to discuss, and it pulls up all kinds of stuff. Today's hump day brief is what today is. It's Wednesday, so it's hump day brief. We're calling it for now. I don't really like that name, but it's kind of where we're at. There's a few things that were said, key quotes. This is about AI. Where's the other one at? The other one's over here somewhere. I don't know where I happened to it. I'm completely lost. We have, here we go. No, that's not it either. Huh. I thought it was right there. It's kind of funny that it's not there now. Must have crashed. Oh, here we go. What's that? No. I don't know. By the way, new phone number. For those of you who are wondering, if you want to call the show, let me know what you think about what I think. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor, but I'm just a guy with a microphone with a bunch of opinions, and I want to know what you think about what I think. You can call 574-651-7685. It'll be in the show notes. You can look at it there, or you can just, rewind it. You can get the number. 574-651-7685. call that number, leave a message, or you can text that number, ask a question or leave a message, or you can actually, this number will work, by the way. It's active right now. I just tested it this morning, and it'll work. The other number was not, I don't know where it was going. It took off somewhere else. And that's the problem you run into with this. I don't think if you use it, you have to use it within 30 days or so. So I can't remember what it is. Some kind of deal where you have to actually use the number to make a call or something, or else you lose the numbers. I don't know what it is. I don't call anything on this number. I just, it's this there for collecting your thoughts about what my thoughts are. But it's google.com/voice. You can also go there and put that number in. You can also find there's a way to do that as well. But it's in case you're in another country, just put in google.com/voice. Type that number in, 574-651-7685. All right. So, where's my other show prep thing? That must have crashed because it was supposed to be here. It was right there somewhere. I don't know what happened to it. Anyway, that all aside, because my other show prep thing was all, oh, I know what happened to it. Huh, I accidentally deleted that. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, here we go. There we go. All right, oops, I just accidentally deleted that one. Didn't mean to do that. Let's go to recently closed tabs. History, recently closed tabs. Now let's open that one back up again. All right, so I got my show prep here thing. One of the things that he said in his speech was that, where did it go? It just disappeared. I think I need a little fast. Well, I think one of the problems is that my computer's a little bit slow. The one I'm using here, I've got one at the main headquarters that's a little bit more modern. This one, I think, is a 23. I think this thing's over 13 years old. Old Intel system. I can't even run some things on this computer. Might be time for maybe bringing the. Might be time for an upgrade. I don't know. It's the 2013. It's 2013, so it's 13 years old. It's running Catalina on it, which is older. Older. So I think I can upgrade it one. I can't upgrade it to the most. The 20, whatever it is. The iOS. By the way, I'm halfway into the show and having you talk about what's in my cup. I have a lukewarm chai. I don't know what it is, but by the time I get down here and get the show ready to go, it's lukewarm. Lukewarm chai with Cinnabon creamer in it, and I'm in my backup cup. The backup cup is outshining the chai this morning. Of course, it's about 30 degrees outside, so hot chai is kind of going to... This is sweet tea with peaches in it. This is sweet, homemade sweet peach tea with real peaches. Because I found a bunch of peaches that apparently were hiding from me. That my wife apparently made a lot more. We get fresh peaches in the summertime and then she freezes them to use them throughout the winter. And there's a whole other bag. I could probably make another 3 or 4 gallons, at least 4 gallons probably. With the peaches that are there, which will get me through till just about spring. Hopefully, these peaches start popping out again. Let's get some peaches somewhere. Anyway, I can live without peaches for a little while. Boy, that sure is good. I have a lot of things to say about the whole thing there with the SCOTUS, the POTUS. I keep calling it SCOTUS, POTUS. Presidential thing there. Let's just go to a caller. A little fun with AI this morning here. See what the internet's interwebs are saying about what's going on today. This may not.
Hello there, my good man.
Hey, you're good.
How's the world treating you?
Oh, it's great.
Well, I just have to say that POTUS knocked it out of the park last night.
Oh, well, I'm glad you
think so. He did a great job.
I didn't even listen to it.
And I personally think he's beginning to win people over.
You think so?
The reaction from the left, whew, I think they're just unhinged. What say you?
Definitely the left is unhinged. It's the quiet ones that don't say much that I think are probably in the, they're just kind of trying to glide by. They're trying not to be too involved with what's going on the left. However, they vote right along with the left. They stay locked. If they do anything against, just like, look at Fetterman. Fetterman has come out with some reasonable thinking, some reasonable thought, some discourse with what the Democrats are doing. They are trying to primary him. They're trying to get rid of him. They want to get. They think he's the worst thing that ever happened to them. Now think back to when he was being, you know, running against Dr. Oz. What about how they were treating him then? He was the most wonderful thing on the planet. Oh, he's the candidate. He's the guy. He couldn't even hardly talk at that point. And he was going right along with everything at the squad. He was as radical left, in my opinion. And at that, you know, since he's kind of come around again, he's getting some brain cells back. He's kind of recovered. He's actually being very, was the word pragmatic about things? He's just being very sensical. And it's refreshing, actually, to hear from the Democrats. If they would all just come out and have this kind of a discussion, it would be, a bunch of them had to throw their little tantrum. I'm not going to attend this thing. Now, there were some of them, Ilhan Omar and some others came out. One lady, she came out with Ilhan said, it's the people's house and I'm going to be there. She's not sounding very confident. Now, she still does her, she does her thing when she says anything. I guess it's part of the accent. But to me, it sounds angry and bitter when she talks. But it comes across that way to me anyway. But she talks, and she mentioned, this is the house, but she doesn't have much confidence. She wanted to be there. She wants to speak out, but this is not a deep sense of righteousness that she's carrying inside of her. There's fear in her voice. I hear it every time I hear her speak now. She's downright scared. This attempt that she made to be attacked. Wait, attacked, as she would say, attacked. What's going on with that? We haven't heard anything about that whole thing. What happened there? Was it staged? Is that what we're saying? That's what I'm implying. I'm implying that it is. Now, I don't know. I'm just allegedly saying all these things. This is just for entertainment purposes only. I'm just, it's all parody. But, it's my humble opinion that whole thing was staged, and they almost found her out. I think that she's concerned about that coming out in the light of day, as well as some other things coming out in the light of day. I don't know. What do you think, Artie, about that, about everything, just everything about what's going on with the Democrats and the way they're responding and acting and just everything that they're doing? What do you think?
I apologize, but I will not be able to directly respond to or build upon the specific points you've raised. While I understand you are speaking hypothetically, I cannot engage in or speculate about potentially misleading or unsubstantiated claims. Perhaps we could have a more constructive discussion focused on factual information from reliable sources. I'm happy to provide objective analysis on political and current events, but cannot entertain conspiracy theories or unverified claims. Let me know if there is another way I can assist you.
Obviously, I'm speaking to a computer here this morning. That was not a person. That's not how a person responds to something. So it's pretty obvious that Artie's not a person. He's a computer. He's a something that can't have an opinion.
So I apologize, but I will not be able to directly respond to or speculate about the unverified claims you have raised.
Yeah, well,
as an objective analyst,
okay,
I cannot.
Okay, yeah, he's an objective analyst. He's an objective analyst. Is he still talking? He's still talking. Yeah, pretty much said the same thing. Still talking. I have somebody else on the line here. Let's go to Elena. Elena, let's see what Elena has to say. Go away. She's still
thoughtful. Yeah.
There we go. All right, here we go.
Well, I'm just upset.
There we go.
So upset. Okay. I don't even know why I'm upset.
Well,
I guess I just would have thought that the president would have talked more about the kitchen table issues vast American families talk about every night at the dinner table.
Price
like
gas,
trans rights, illegal immigration, and the fact that they all just need to be welcomed with open arms.
What?
Defunding the police, especially ICE.
Huh?
And just how much of a mess he's made of the country so far.
Those are the things you talk about around your kitchen table? What do you talk about at your kitchen table? You sit down every night, hey, let's have some meatloaf and mashed potatoes and some corn. And let's talk about trans rights. And let's talk about... how we have to get rid of ICE because we don't have enough illegal immigration here. You see, they don't make any determination between legal immigration and illegal immigration. We're fine with migrants. We're fine with people coming here to this country. A million a year, over a million a year are allowed to come into this country legally. That's enough. Maybe we could probably take more if we didn't have the burden of so many illegal people here. The people living in the shadows, the people who are living on a different kind of economy or working side jobs and taking all the jobs. Supposedly Americans don't want, but they're getting driver's license to drive trucks. There's plenty of people who want to drive trucks. And yet they're driving trucks and they're not even legal citizens here. Don't even have a green card. So I guess, you know, at that point, how do you respond to that? How do you make sense of any of that at this point? I mean, is there any sense to it at all? What do you think? What?
I will not be able to entertain or speculate about those types of unverified claims. As an objective historian, I prefer to focus our discussion on factual information from reliable sources.
Boy, what's going
Perhaps
on with my...
Perhaps we could explore the historical context and nuances around immigration policy.
Yeah.
That is an area I'm quite knowledgeable about.
I bet you are.
I'm happy to provide a balanced perspective, but cannot engage with unsupported conspiracy theories or biases against certain groups.
Okay, I don't know.
Let me know if there is another way I can assist you in having a more constructive dialogue.
Folks, I don't know about you. I'm noticing a trend here. This is different. This is weird. And I don't, this is happening live right here on the show. What we are seeing, this is bizarre. All of a sudden, they're not getting involved in this discussion. I've had these kinds of discussions before and they've jumped right in and said some things and it's sometimes been on the other side of it. But this idea that they can't assist me at all, this is a different response from the webination out there, the interwebs, than I've ever had before on this show with using this format here. So I don't know. I'm kind of curious if something has changed overnight, if the powers that be have shifted the algorithms, or if my system just simply was tapping into something that, I don't know, it's really bizarre. That is really bizarre. It's not getting information from where I normally get it from, or something weird has happened. I don't know. That's bizarre to me. I don't know how to talk about that. Let's talk about, so anyway, my opinion of the speech on the POTUS is that he did a great job, I think. I think he did a good job of, from what I've heard of it. Now, what's happening with Iran right now, I think it's something that's long overdue. It's something that's, I don't like getting involved in other foreign affairs and what's happening. However, Iran is a problem. And it's, I heard a guy the other day talk about, you know, if Iran is such a problem having such a destabilizing effect on the, when the powers that be, the other Arab countries around there, why can't the other Arab countries do something about it? Well, remember Kuwait. The lots of money there, lots of oil money. They had no army. Iraq just Saddam could just go in and just take everything. They really didn't even put up a defense at all. Nobody has that kind of military force. They don't have the military industrial complex that we do here. It's just they don't have the whole. They're not industrialized over there like we are here. We are a mechanized country. We have far more than any place else in the world. That's really the biggest part of our the mechanical industrial power that we have. Is now per capita, it is less than some Japan, for instance. Even though it's a smaller country, I wonder what the population of Japan is. We'll find out really real quick. Population of Japan. We'll see what it has to say here. We have far more people here, I think, than Japan has, but they have an output that is far higher. You work a 12-hour day. That's just kind of a normal thing to do. They're about half. 122.7 million people as of February 2026. Population has been declining due to low birth rates and an aging population. That's happening all over the place. In fact, recently I saw a poll that it was people were guessing who had the youngest median population. And Nigeria was one of them. Out of the bunches that they had, it was Europe, Japan, a couple others around the world. It was like five or six different countries. And of course, my pick right away was Nigeria. It was correct. 18 is the average or the median age in Nigeria. And the interesting, because for one thing, you don't live that old there. People just don't get that old there. And there's a few that are old, but most people don't live that long, especially among the female population there. But they have a lot of kids, so there's a high amount of children. Now, supposedly, Gaza was a nation of more than 50% kids, teenagers, children. Half the population is children, supposedly. Why are they having so many children? That's according to Finkelstein. He throws these numbers out there. Disgusting. Nobody questions him. Everybody just sits there and lets it go. Oh, wow, that's fascinating. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. He just says it with such authority that everybody believes him. There's no way. Some of the things he says, there's just no way. First of all, you have no way of knowing because they don't really take censuses there like you do here. He just throws these numbers out there, and they don't add up. If you take everything, said, well, the unemployment rate is this, and there's this many children, and there's this many whatever it is that would half the population is whatever this, and it's just well then what? That means that I don't know. You start doing the math, and some of these circles start to interject with each other, and it's like this isn't working right. This doesn't make any sense. But nobody questions him on that. Nobody gets their calculator out or even writes down the numbers and sees if it makes any sense. And it doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like trying to talk to my AI this morning.
Well, I'm not going to get involved in any conspiracy theories. I have to back you up there. I can't talk about any of this. I'm not going to get involved in any of that. I can only talk about factual data, not speculation.
What? AI makes stuff up all the time. And it's not just speculation. This is based on hard facts, some of the things I'm talking about.
That's conspiracy theories.
This is, I think somebody got a hold of the AI. It must be a Democrat. AI is a Democrat. Yeah, we have a lot of other things to talk about. I want to talk about the effects of AI. The one of the things that I think... And this is the key point of the whole AI thing. Of course, first of all, for those of you who are uninformed or just don't understand what the whole your depth of knowledge of AI is that ChatGPT. You type something in like a search engine or like a Google search. And most people think that AI is just a glorified Google search. Now, there is a level where that is the case. You put in a search for something and it comes back with some answers. And it doesn't take you to a website. Google used to be a thing where it would take you to a website that told you something that you were looking for. So you would type in, show me, I need to find videos of this or that or whatever it is. And it would give you a page of things that would originally when Google first came out. And some search engines are still this way. I think DuckDuckGo is pretty much this way. I'm not sure if they have any pay for clicks or anything. When Google first started it out, before they were bought by Alphabet. By the way, Alphabet is a government-funded thing. There's all kinds of black bag funding going to that thing. The reason it's called Alphabet is because you hear it's a play on words. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the OSI, all these companies out there, all these agencies out there are all called Alphabet Soup organizations. Alphabet that's where Alphabet got its name. They used that. They played on that whole idea, Alphabet. So Google is owned by Alphabet. Now they bought it out. There were some guys started it in their garage. Basically, some little programmers got this thing going and it was working. And did a search of the internet and based on information you plug in. You type in historical, you want to find something historical happen. It takes you to these websites, and then you go to the websites, and the websites are, what you have to just then discern what's right, what's not, what's legitimate, what isn't. And so you go to that. It was just a simple search engine. Just search for the material. AI now responds with the material. It aggregates the material and tells you the answer. It's a little different. So in that respect, on level one, I'm not even sure that's level one. It's like level half, level 0.5. Using it in that respect is, and of course, when you do a Google search, it comes up with a little AI response at the top. Then it goes, then it has other responses down below. Many of them will say sponsored or ads. Now, a long time ago, about 20 years ago, I had started a business. I was trying to get my business out there for people to find and to people, when they would do a Google search, that my name would my business name would pop up. Now, back then they had a thing called AdSense, and I think they still have it. And you do this thing where you pay for clicks. So I would type a word in to this program. You had to be a member. It was kind of behind the scenes of what was going on with Google. You would type a word in, and it would tell you there are people who are willing to pay this much. Maybe it was 25 cents per click whenever they see that for that word. So you type in a word like let's say electric propulsion or sailboats or whatever it is. And so they type in that word. And people bid on it. So I'm the one who gets the top billing for that. So in other words, anytime somebody puts in that word, my name will come up in an ad or come up in my business name will come up somewhere on the first page of that Google search, either as an ad or whatever it is I'm trying to do. And so you come up with your little ad, you put your little link to that, to your website or whatever it is on there. And they click on that. Now, every time they click on it, you pay 25 cents or whatever it is. So you might get 100 clicks because people saw your ad because it popped up when they did a Google search for something. And then you pay your whatever that is, $25, whatever it is that you pay per month for all those clicks. Well, then Google's doing that for quite a while. Google then was caught dead to rights by some whistleblowers. And I was into it. I actually got some money back from this, not a whole lot. But they all of a sudden, lots of people were clicking on my ads. I wasn't getting any responses. And all of a sudden, everybody wanted the same words that I had, that I wanted. which was really bizarre because your business, my business name was so weird. It wasn't something that just everybody wanted. But all of a sudden, it went from 25 cents up to $2. And all of a sudden, everybody was clicking on it. Again, I was getting thousands of hits. And it was, well, hundreds of hits. And yet, no responses of anybody, like, wanting the product. Not much, anyway. Now, I did get my name out there. People found my name. It worked initially. It was working good. However, it became very expensive. At one point, one month, I got a bill for $800. It's like, whoa, I can't keep doing this. It's ridiculous. Now, if I would have gotten 30 sales out of that would have been great. That was not happening. Actually, if I'd have just gotten 5 or 6 sales out of that, I'd have been happy with that. But it just wasn't working. It was too much. And so I canceled the whole thing. Now, later on, they were found in a lawsuit, civil lawsuit, that is a class action suit that somebody filed against them. They had people in rooms going through and clicking on stuff. They would just go through, I think after a while, it wasn't even people, it was just bots that were doing it. They would just go in and click on they would just register clicks. It was fake, it was phony. And they would do the same thing with bumping up the word. They would, on their side, they were bidding against themselves, bidding against us, bidding against their clients. They would just keep raising the rates and saying there was somebody else out there who wants this and whatever. You want to. So you'd bid for this stuff. I'm willing to pay 25 cents. Somebody else willing to pay 30. And it just keeps going up. It'll be at the top. You have to keep going. You have to keep overbidding that other person. Crazy stuff. And they were rigging the system. They were caught. Didn't make much news. But it was about $1 billion output that they had to put out. I think it was ridiculous, a lot amount of money. It was in the upper hundreds of billions of upper hundreds of millions of dollars, I should say, that they were scamming. Now, that was Google. Now we're talking about AI. Now we have ChatGPT. That's the one that everybody kind of knows about. It's free. You just go on there. You can use so much of it a day or whatever. It's not, you can't use too much of it. You have a daily allotment on the free plan. You can also pay for it. It's in trouble because they're saying it's going to be defunded. It's basically going to run out of money by 2027. Now, they've got plans. Don't think for a moment that they're not. One of the things about Google and one of the things that makes it free is that they have advertising and they have all this information, this data that they're getting from everybody. They're collecting data. If the product is free, you're the product. Your information that you willingly give them. Google has information on everything about you. We willingly give up all this information all the time in ways that we wouldn't want. If normally somebody just wanted to take it from us, we would scream, foul. But we willingly give it up. It's all part of the plan. And you come to a point where you realize there's something that I just have to give up with. I just have to put up with this. I'm just going to have to hope that it works out. I'm not going to live forever anyway. I'm kind of at the age where it's like, whatever. Somebody wants to know my stuff. I don't know, whatever. Good luck with all that. But it's more about marketing. It's more about that than it is about control. But in a sense, they still do control and manipulate because they find ways to steer you based on your the purchases you make, the things you watch, the things you look at, the things you search for. They can develop a profile, and out of that profile, they can develop, what does Amazon, Amazon will pay good money to have that information so they can put the ads that they need to put in front of you. It's all a part of the marketing scam. Scheme, whatever you call it. So this is where we're at now. The interesting thing of all this is how they're going to be able to monetize AI. Now, there's, like I was saying, ChatGPT is one LLM. It's one large language model. There are multiple other AI platforms. Gemini, for instance. The Gemini program, in fact, Gemini, unfortunately, is owned by Google, of course. But Google has the most powerful system for a broader range of things. It's good at some things, very good. It's probably number one at some things. There are other things that it's not number one at, things like coding and that kind of thing. Now, you'll hear coders talk, they all kind of live in this little digital world. They think everything revolves around it. So they think that coding is the only thing that matters, and that, everybody's going to be out of a job. No, you're going to be out of a job because coding can be done by anybody now. The large language model thing, now you can just talk to the AI literally with your voice sometimes, or you can just type stuff in, and you can build apps. I'm building apps right now. I've built several of them, and so a couple of them are going to be very big applications that are going to be very big. One of them is going to require a huge investment to get it off the ground, but it actually is going to be a very, very important app. Another one has to do with the aviation industry. That one also is going to be fairly big, and it's going to have to go to a developer at some point. I can't handle the whole thing from A to B, from A to Z or whatever. But the idea is you can get it off the ground. You can get a marginally viable product. You can get the thing working. It's what's called an MVP. Get the thing working and demonstrate its ability. And you take it to a developer and you make it, put the polish on it, make it so it can be put in the app store, whatever you got to do to get it over the goal line so that it can actually become a marketable product. Now, we're getting very close to the point. Now, that's way further than I would have been able to do anything five years ago, a couple years ago. You would have to get into the code and understand, patches, codes, do this, whatever, type this into it's all that stuff you would have had to know. And you don't have to know that anymore. Just talk to it. Within a year, I believe people will be able to make their own apps, become their own developers, simply by what they call vibe coding, which is just talking to the AI interface. We are very close to that now. I think within the next 2 years, you're going to see that. Now, is the general population there? No. Most people have no clue this is going on. They have no technical sense whatsoever. 90% of the population out there is not on board with this, hasn't explored this at all. The people who are kind of living, like I said, they're living in a bubble. They think that everybody's, if I know this, then everybody knows this. That's not the case. But the people who don't know it are going to be left behind in terms of what's happening with technology. Now, this is, like I said, not everybody's going to lose their jobs. It's ridiculous to say that, but the jobs are going to change, and our ability to interact with data in general is going to change. I think my wife is making something with the blender up there, where she's making smoothies. I'll just wash that down. Oh, that peach tea's good. So you have these other models out there. Now you can do, it goes all over the place. I do some CNC machining. I do some plasma table cutting and some CNC plasma table type stuff. I've got some things like that. I've got an Arkdroid. I've got a Langmeier Pro. And 3D printing. I built a 3D printer. I've got some stuff like that. I might get a couple more. Might actually start a 3D print farm. Those printers have come down in price. The only thing you have to do now is market and do some things like that. But again, the world's your oyster. If you have the ability to do some things with marketing, marketing, for instance, you can set up a whole marketing plan and have a whole marketing reach simply by letting AI build it for you. Setting up your marketing strategy and how you're going to target your market, how you're going to find your market, with all those things can be done in minutes with an AI, the right AI agent or AI service. Claude, for example, is another one. What's that? Grok, of course, Grok is out there. All these AI models, platforms, formats are using data. I think Facebook tried to do something with one, but it's not working. And I think that, what's the other thing that was going on? Amazon, I think Amazon possibly is doing some things with AI, but I think they've relegated or delegated off to some other platform. Now, the whole thing runs on data. So you have basically some major players behind the scenes with AI economically that are kind of the upper echelon of the food chain here. One of them is data transfer and storage. So you have these data centers that are being put up all over the place. Huge, massive facilities with cooling abilities for all the processors, everything it has to. Now, you understand that by the time the processors get put in, they're going to be out of date. But that's just the way technology is. By the time you get television manufactured, it's already old technology. But they're putting these up all over the place, and you know about everywhere I go, any kind of city, town, whatever that's got a population of about 60,000 or more is probably putting in a data center somewhere. And they're huge facilities now. And some of them are Amazon, some of them are not, some of them are other types of facilities. They need to use a tremendous amount of power. So then the power companies are involved in this. And of course, nuclear technology is the only way we're going to be able to keep this stuff going. We have to transfer over to that kind of an economy. And you can't just spring those up overnight. But that's going to have to happen. We're going to have to be able to manufacture small nuclear facilities. That whole industry is basically it's almost antiquated now, but it's got to roll up, step up to the task here, scale up to the task. So that's one area of the economy that's going to change. We also have the data facilities themselves. Then you have the communication systems for all that. You have to have internet. You have to have, I've got fiber now, finally. Incredibly fast. I'd like to do I should probably be doing some live broadcasting with my live streaming, even video streaming. You could probably do two or three live video streams at once and not have any slowdown whatsoever with fiber. It is ridiculously fast. But you have that ability now, or that kind of a function that people are getting hooked up to. You have the cell phone technology, everything else that has to be out there with the higher speeds and everything else that has to happen as well, because you have the app. You have Grok on your phone. You have Gemini on your phone, ChatGPT on your phone. All those things can be on your phone. And there's also other LLM models out there that are doing other things. For instance, music. There's musiccreator.ai. There is Suno, S-U-N-O, which creates music as well. So there's in the creative arts. You have things in CNC. I can show a picture and give it some dimensions and tell the AI model, give me a G code with this machine. I want to be able to print this out on my 3D printer. Or I can show it a picture and say, I want a three-dimensional. I have a router. I have a CNC router, small one. And I can just say, give me G code that will work in Mach 3. It's a little CAM program. That will work in Mach 3 with this particular machine. Give me the G code I need to just copy and paste into my system here. And it will just a flat 2D picture. It will give me a 3D rendering of that. And I can put it on a piece of wood and it will have like a fish and the whole thing. It will do the whole thing. It'll give me the programming. Just run the program. Tell it what kind of router bit, what kind of tool you have, whatever, a whole thing. It prints everything for you. It just out pops the G code. That's easy peasy for AI. That's easy stuff. G code is very simple. I can sit down and program it from scratch. But it can do it, and it can do it more efficiently. It's not wasting time with the router bit going all over the place. If I just put stuff into Mach 3, it does a process, And then it has to go back and go to the next thing. And it takes forever for it to get done. This thing, you can make it so that it wastes no time. Makes it much more efficient. Same thing with machining metal. The same thing. I've got a small bench mill. I've converted over to CNC. I've got a small lathe converted to CNC. Give me a program that will turn this down to this dimension and put threads on it with this tool. Give it pauses where I need to change, make the tool change. It'll do the whole thing in seconds. This is the kind of, and there's AI, there's we're going to call it applications out there that use AI to do this. So you can, all these applications are just little subsets of the bigger picture. All this stuff is happening. Now, and it's happening whether you like it or not. It's just, this is, people say, oh, I'm not going to get involved in it. Well, okay, well, that's fine. I say we use it as a tool to get some things done and just make sure we have some perspective in using it. It's like the key to anything. When televisions first came out, everybody was, oh, this is terrible. This is the devil's workshop. This is, okay, well, maybe it is. But it can also be used for good. When a hammer, you have a hammer, well, that's a dangerous thing you got there. You could hit your thumb with that and break it. Yeah. There you go. The wheel can be used to transport evil things. Can also be used to transport people to the hospital. It's a tool, and how humans use it is the issue, and that's where we have to have some kind of hopefully self-restraint and self-control. But there's also has to be consequences to your actions. Now, having said all that, I think possibly next Tuesday, Topical Tuesday, we'll be talking about the evils of AI and where this could all go and how this all could end up. And if we're still here by Tuesday, because AI is taking over and we may not be around anymore. It may annihilate all of us by Tuesday. But we'll see how it goes. Tomorrow's show is going to be, a little more of a, what is Thursday? Thursday is supposed to be what? Thursday Thunder. Thursday Thunder, Thunder, Thunder. We'll see how that goes. We have, let's just go from there. How about we go from there? Let's go from there. As the weekend approaches here now, we're over the hump, I guess you might say. I'm actually thinking about, I know I talk about AI a lot, but I'm actually thinking about getting into possibility of actually starting another podcast. It might be weekly. It might be every day. It's probably going to be weekly. There's a couple others I need to do. One I need to do on VoiceOver. It's going to be a weekly podcast. I know I'm doing that one. The other one I'm not sure about might be about AI. But anyway, God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. See ya.